Good morning. It's a joy to be able to share God's word with you this morning, and also a welcome to all of our visitors. I will read the following. The title is Why Sing? And I'll read the following scriptures to kind of set the framework for you this morning. Psalm 104, verse 33. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Psalm 147, verse 1. How good is it to sing praises to our God? How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. Ephesians 5, verses 18 to 20. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The COVID pandemic has had many effects on the church. We're all aware of the restrictions placed on the California government, on the size and limitation on the worship services and other public gatherings, and the prohibition on singing in the assembly. But it was a great blessing at Lassen Street we were able to compensate for those restrictions by conducting drive-in worship services and by using Zoom and recorded sermons on the website. Throughout all of these restrictions, we were still able to sing, although in our cars during the Sunday worship services. But it seemed really funny to sing to yourself or only with those enclosed in your car. As a song leader, I felt strange, as if I was singing to myself doing a solo, no, not in the shower, but while leading the worship in a booth in the parking lot. Of course, I could tell that many of you were singing because I could see lips moving through the windshield, or at least I hope you were singing. Although we were praising God in song, something was missing. It wasn't the same as singing in the assembly together as we've just done, to where we could all see each other and hear the voices of others. It then became very apparent to me that we were meant to be together, to have worship and fellowship in person. Now, it really doesn't matter if everyone sings perfectly. All voices, great or not, blend together to form a joyful noise to the Lord. I recall many years ago attending a retreat in the Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia. During the singing session, I realized that I'd forgotten my Bible, so I left the auditorium and went back to the cabin where I was staying to pick up my Bible. On the way back, I stopped to take in a view of the mountains. As I admired the view, I heard singing coming from the open windows of the building. Although I knew that there were many levels of singing ability in that assembly, I was awed as to how wonderful it sounded with everyone's voices blending together. I thought then maybe that this is how God appears or hears and appreciates our singing as praise to Him. So this morning, I would like to share with you the theological basis for singing. Why we should sing as part of the worship, the importance of singing together, what singing does for us, and what it means to God. I will also briefly outline some thoughts on how to overcome some of the challenges that we face in our society regarding singing in worship assemblies. Now for the academic part of this lesson. Let's begin by looking at the purposes of singing in the Christian assembly. What is the theological basis for singing and worship? Scripture provides significant evidence that song is an essential part of worship. In addition, there are many benefits of song to us individually and corporately as Christians. Everett Ferguson, in his book, The Church of Christ, A Biblical Ecclesiology for Today, discusses 9 reasons why singing is a fundamental part of Christian worship. I will discuss these this morning. Actually, many thanks to my father-in-law about that. First of all, song is a way of preaching the gospel of Christ. Everett Ferguson states that Christ is the ground and content of the Christian song, and Christ is the standard for the content of songs in the assembly that meets His name. In other words, as Christians, we sing about Christ. If singing about God, it is most often about what God accomplished through Christ. If it is singing about the Holy Spirit, it is about the gift of the Spirit in Christ. If it is singing about encouragement and instruction for one another, it comes from the life and the example of Christ. Multiple sources identify fragments of early Christian hymns in Paul's letters, specifically Philippians 2, verses 6 to 11. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. We see another example in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. We notice that Christ is the content of these songs of praise to him. Secondly, song is a confession of our faith. Hebrews 13, verse 15 states, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name." Also, Romans 15, verse 9 says in part, "Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name." Singing, then, is a way of acknowledging God through praise, confessing faith in him, and sharing that faith with others. It is to be done with thankfulness, Ephesians 5, verse 19, and our thanksgiving acknowledges God as the source of all our blessings. We also know that singing not only confesses faith, but it inspires faith. Let's see, are we in the right? Let me see if we're on the right slide here. Slide 5, okay. Let's go back. There we go. How about the confession of faith? Secondly, song is a confession of our faith. Let's see. Did we do that? We did that. All right. I'm sorry I have lost my place here. That's for the first. Maybe there's a first time for everything. Okay. Well, let's go back to the other slide. I went for too fast. Singing not only confesses faith, but it inspires faith. Acts 16, verse 25 and 26 is an example of singing under very trying circumstances as an expression of faith. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Paul and Silas were demonstrating their faith in God even while imprisoned by singing to him. I wonder what the impact this had on the other prisoners who were listening. For some reason, none of them ran away when given the opportunity to escape. Without a doubt, Paul's and Silas' belief in the gospel and Christ motivated them to sing to the Lord in praise. And as a result of these events, the jailer and his family were brought to faith in Christ. Now we're on the right slide. Thirdly, singing expresses and is a result of the indwelling Spirit and the Word of Christ. The Spirit and the Word are linked together, and vocal praise, that is, singing, is a consequence of their presence. Singing, then, is spiritual in nature and is in accord with the Word of Christ. From Scripture, Ephesians 5, verse 18 and 19, exhorts us to be filled with the Spirit and to speak one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Likewise, Colossians 3:16 associates teaching with singing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. As Everett Ferguson states in his book, the knowledge of salvation in Christ, the acceptance of God's grace, and the receiving of the Holy Spirit as first fruits of redemption, these lead to song. Song is also a form of praise is a spiritual sacrifice. As we have seen in Hebrews 13:15, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise in the fruit of the lips that confess his name. 1 Corinthians 14:15 states that I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. Linking this verse with reference to spiritual songs in Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16 indicate that singing is a spiritual activity. Singing is one of the offerings to God that replaces for Christians the sacrifices of the law of Moses. When you sing hymns in praise of God, you are using something that God himself made, vocal cords, a tongue, and a resultant voice, to give back to him something from yourself. It is a sacrifice that is continually available to all in the church today. Fifth, in song, there is a sharing of heavenly praise. Revelation 5, verses 13 and 14 describe singing in heaven in praise of God. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory forever and ever. The church, through singing, joins this heavenly chorus. Singing temporarily lowers the barrier between heaven and earth. Singing, then, is a heavenly activity in anticipation of the activities of the end time. Through singing, we are preparing for heaven and what we will be spending a lot of time doing once we get there. So we all will be singing, so get used to it. Singing in the assembly is not only directed to God in praise, but is also for our instruction and edification, or building up the church. The purpose of coming together to worship, rather than simply offering one's worship alone, is that edification in Christ can occur. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, Paul directs that songs in the assembly, as with everything else, must be done for the strengthening of the church. Since edification of the church requires understanding, melody and song is secondary to the words and the content. For Paul, edification meant intelligible, verbal instruction. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 9 states that in part, unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you're saying? Paul's criterion for edification applied to Psalms as well. Each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. Colossians 3:16 reminds us to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Ferguson makes the following observations about singing. The mutual aspects of the singing serve to reinforce the verbal content and so deepen the impressions of the words, hold the attention, and add an emotional impact to the ideas and elevate the thoughts. Rhythm and melody serve as an aid to the vocal element in achieving the purposes of spiritual worship and edification. We also know that song exemplifies the unity of the church. Romans 15, verse 6 describes the unity of the church through song. With one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ferguson states that singing together symbolizes and expresses the unity of the church, and that harmony is in which all participate is a beautiful and specific way of showing that the members of one body are united to the Lord and to one another. Singing, therefore, helps to enhance and affect unity as well. The corporate, that is, the body life of the church, is expressed in the blending of voices in song. Clearly, song involves the whole person. It engages the heart, mind, and organs of speech, and therefore involves our emotions, our thinking, and our bodies. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, emphasizes the spirit and the mind as applied to singing. Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16 focus on singing from the heart. And Hebrews 13, verse 15, exhorts us to sing with our lips as a sacrifice of praise to God. In the Old Testament, in singing, the soul and lips are linked together. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have redeemed. Psalm 71, verse 23. God is praised by the instrument that he made for us, our voices, intelligibly from the heart. We all have a unique voice, and the blending of all our individual gifts is a reflection of the body of Christ. Finally, song is an expression of deep religious emotion. The musical aspects of singing add to the emotional impact of what is expressed in song. As an example, James 5, verse 13 states in part, "Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise." We can sing a variety of songs today in various emotional states, whether we're joyful or sorrowful. Songs are a heart's response to divine grace. So we've spent a few minutes discussing the theology of singing and worship. So now we will discuss the contemporary challenges. Clearly, singing is a critical and integral part of a Christian's individual worship and corporate worship of God. Earlier, I noted that the COVID pandemic certainly has affected our worship of God in song through assembly size and restriction on singing. But there is a more serious challenge that has been ongoing for many years. Daryl Tippins, in his booklet, That's Why We Sing, describes our transition from a singing culture to a listening culture because of our excessive exposure to professionally produced music, mostly instrumental, in the entertainment world and in many churches today. This transition has minimized the importance placed on praising God with our own voices made by the Creator himself. In earlier generations, you may remember when everyone sang and or knew how to play a musical instrument. Often people sang together as a pastime, as well as for entertainment. Singing was the realm of ordinary people, not just professionals. When singing together, one did not need a good voice. However, everyone participated. Much of what was done musically was done by amateurs and not professionals. This is no longer the case today. The popular contemporary TV program, America's Got Talent, is a good example of today's listening culture. Simon Crowell, one of the judges on the show, is one of the harshest self-appointed critics of the contestants. In today's world, even in the church, some have moved from being participating singers to passive listeners and ultimately to critics. Sadly, in this environment, singing and worship has sometimes suffered because it is not regarded as a sacrificial gift to God, but rather a performance event subject to critical analysis. What did you think of the singing today? So as a result, we're forgetting how to sing and how to pass on this ancient legacy. So I offer some solutions to the current challenges. Daryl Tippins, and That's Why We Sing, offers solutions that the church faces. What I summarize from portions of his book in conjunction with my own observations are general in nature and not directed towards any specific congregation. Let's see. First of all, we should recognize the significance of a cappella singing. In summarizing the thinking of early Christian writers as expressed by the 5th century Christian writer Augustine of Hippo, Tippin states that in the age of the New Covenant, human beings are the instruments through which God makes his amazing music. The people of God no longer play tambourines or lyres. Rather, they themselves become God's musical instruments. God is the musician, and the people are his instruments. The music we make by singing is not our achievement, but rather God's. Musical instruments don't play themselves, but rather they are played by a musician created by God. Our singing is our heart's response to divine grace. Can musical instruments accomplish this? Of course not. Likewise, instrumental music does not contribute to the biblical meaning of edification and is likely to be an interference. Through singing with our own voices, we offer sacrifices as a living praise to God. We should also remember the significance and the importance of singing as worship. Hebrews 13:15 exhorts us, through Jesus, let us therefore continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that openly profess his name. Singing is an important, sometimes overlooked, part of our corporate and individual worship of God. We should make it a part of our worship of God as often as possible. Singing is also important because it is simple and universal. Tiffins quotes the classical singer and vocal music professor, Kelly Neal, who stated, "We all can sing without professional training. We don't have to bring an instrument, for that instrument is within us. The blending of our individual gifts is a beautiful picture of the body of Christ." So congregational singing is essential and is central to the identity and mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. Third, we need to renew efforts to teach singing in our churches. Many congregations rightly concentrate today on preaching, teaching, and various ministries. All of these are important, however, they should not be done at the expense of singing. The worship of the Lord is just not from the neck up. Doctrine and ethics are not enough to sustain our faith. Everett Ferguson in A Cappella Music in the Public Worship of the Church urges us to offer our best to God and to be concerned with developing the best types of vocal music and rendering it to the best of our ability. How can we offer our best to God when it comes to song? Here are four possibilities. Churches can schedule and encourage participation in special singing events. These events provide the opportunity not only to worship God, but also to learn new songs and practice familiar ones. They also provide an opportunity for everyone to get together, young and old. Congregational singing events provide training opportunities for worship leaders to practice as well. Congregations that are truly committed to congregational singing will make singing a vibrant part of church life. Second, the churches should provide for the training of song leaders. Just like preachers and other ministers, those leading worship and song also require training. And instruction and practice are needed to effectively lead the congregation and teach new songs. New song leaders, especially youth, should be encouraged and trained. Trained song leaders might also lend their skills to other areas of the worship service, such as congregational prayers, communion, and yes, even preaching. Churches should learn new songs. One of the ways to keep singing vibrant is to learn new songs or old ones that we don't know yet. Singing the same songs over and over again may cause congregational singing to become stale and uninspiring. On the other hand, don't forget the songs that have withstood the test of time. They should not be abandoned. The songs selected for the congregation to sing should be a mix of contemporary and classic so as to benefit all the congregation. And finally, we need to focus on youth. Children are the future of the church. Without Christian youth baptized and equipped to serve, the church will die. Singing should be an integral part of training from the earliest age. Additionally, songs are excellent ways to pass on teaching and faith to the next generation. It is much easier to remember words when they are set to music. And so I conclude the lesson this morning by saying that singing may well be one of the most overlooked of spiritual practices, and it needs restoration, especially in a post-pandemic world. Likewise, I only have provided a few suggestions on how to restore the importance of singing in congregational worship. So I close today's lesson with the following quote from Tippins in Why We Sing. Words of faith set to music convert us, encourage us, console us, sustain us, and take us to heaven's door. There would be little discipleship or spiritual formation without psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So let's keep on singing. If you have any prayer needs or requests that you would like the congregation to pray for, or if you would like to put on Christ in baptism, please stand and come forward as we sing a song of invitation.